Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Systemair fourth quarter and full year 2018 financial results call on 3rd of April 2019. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press star zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I will now hand the conference over to Nikolaj Minnersen. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. Before we start, we would like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information during this call contains projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events for the future financial performance of Systemair. You can identify forward-looking statements by terms such as expect, believe, anticipate, estimate, intend, will, good, may, or might, the negative of such terms or similar expressions. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update the statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after today's date or to reflect the occurrence of anticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among others, future rating, economic and credit conditions, competitive environment risks associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and market change in our industries, as well as many other risks specifically related to Systemair and its operations. Dear ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your interest in Systemair. Today, Systemair's financial and operating results for the fourth quarter and full year 2018 will be presented by Mr. Andrey Dubovskoy, Systemair President and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Vladimir Stravkov, Systemair's Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. With that, I'll turn the call to Andrey Dubovskoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. We are delighted to present our financial and operating results for the fourth quarter and full year 2018. For the fourth quarter and full year 2018, we delivered impressive growth in revenue and EBITDA as our portfolio continued to consolidate their markets and expand into new business segments. In the fourth quarter, on like-for-like basis, group revenue rose by 16% year-on-year, and adjusted EBITDA was up by 46%. For the full year, revenue increased by 12%, and adjusted EBITDA was up 34%. At our publicly traded assets, which have already reported, we saw sustained growth in revenue and EBITDA as both MTS and Detский Мир continue to lead their respective sectors. In both retail and telecom, the operating environment presents its own challenges. Both management teams have shown the ability to monetize their base. MTS posted fourth quarter and full year revenue growth of 11% and 8% year-on-year, respectively, despite 0.4% year-on-year decrease in subscribers. Likewise, Detский Мир saw revenue increase by 13% in the fourth quarter and 14% in the full year on the back of the strong like-for-like sales. Fourth quarter is traditionally strong for the company, both in terms of revenue due to the holiday season and in terms of profitability due to higher sales of toys and the sales mix. Overall, during the year, Detský Мир has managed to improve profitability as a result of the economies of scale and the cost discipline. Both companies have successfully ventured into new markets and developed new revenue streams. At MTS, the contribution from IT and system integration business is growing steadily. The company is also increasing scale in the data center cloud business and saw revenue from cloud services tripled in 2018. Detský Мир continues to open new stores in new Russia's regions and Kazakhstan. It has also launched operations in Belarus, and in the promising pet supply industry. Online sales have almost doubled during the year, reaching almost 8% of sales. Our key non-public assets, both exporters and domestic players, during the quarter strengthened their market positions. Cegeja growth was driven by the paper and packaging segment, which accounted for 70% of total revenue. In the fourth quarter, Cegeja grew its top line by 40% year-on-year and 32% for the full year. Adjusted EBITDA was up 90% in the fourth quarter and 83% for the 2018. These dynamics were driven by, first of all, increased prices for the key Cegeja's products, greater capacity due to a new paper-making machine, and currency factors also. our agricultural business, TEP, continues to grow both organically and through the launch of new business lines. TEP's revenue jumped 184% in the fourth quarter and increased by 137% in the full year as a result of strong growth of the field crop division, acceleration of the grain trading business at TEP become top 6 grain exporter in Russia, solid operating results in the dairy segment, and the launch of sales of sugar and produce under the TEP brand. OBD was up 40% year-on-year in Q4 and 22% overall in 2018 due to improved efficiency in the grain segment and the development of agro-trading. Mitsis revenue for the year affirmed its position as Russia's leading private healthcare enterprise. Revenue in the fourth quarter was up 60% year-on-year. For the year, total revenue rose 52%. Adjusted OBD rose 440% and 83% in the fourth quarter and the full year 2018, respectively. This was primarily driven by higher utilization rates and an increase in revenue per square meter of medical facilities. In recent months, Sistema has completed transactions that crystallized the value of our assets in real estate and the pharmaceutical sectors. In February, we sold 51% stake in our Moscow real estate development business, Leader Invest, to London-listed developer Etalon Group. This creates a new leader in Russian residential real estate. Subsequently, Sistema acquired 25% of Etalon from the company's founder and his family. As a result, Sistema has become the largest shareholder in a significantly strengthened publicly traded real estate business. The combined company, a top three player in Russia's largest market, Moscow and St. Petersburg, boast an excellent portfolio of projects. And it has an opportunity to take advantage of significant synergies through optimization of construction costs and administrative expenses. Etalon's in-house construction capacities and design bureau will accelerate development of leaders projects. As the market undergoes transformation with new regulation and changing consumer preferences, we believe consolidation is the key trend, and we are eager to embrace the benefit from it. In pharma, we partnered with VTB to acquire a 95% stake in OBL Farm, which we plan to merge with our existing pharmaceutical business, Binopharm, in the coming months. The two companies possess complementary assets, and we have set a medium-term goal of building out of a top five Russian players in the commercial segment in the pharma industry. Additionally, we have made a strategic bet on Russian e-commerce, increasing our holding in market leader Ozon by buying our MTS stake. Sistema now directly holds 90% of Ozon and another 16% stake via venture capital fund Sistema VC. The potential in Russian e-commerce is huge. The market is forecasted to grow from 1 trillion rubles to 3.5 trillion in 2023 with CAGR of 24%. And Ozon, currently growing at 70% in sales per year, is well positioned to consolidate this highly fragmented industry and benefit from its growth. Looking ahead, we will continue to deliver against the strategy adopted in 2018 that is centered around three strategic goals: maximizing shareholders' returns and reducing the discount between market capitalization and NAV. Secondly, attracting third-party capital to enhance our investment returns. And thirdly, reducing gross debt at the corporate center to optimum level of 114 or 150 billion rubles. Our strategic focus is on building our four businesses: STET, Segezha, Mitsi, and Ozon, with a target enterprise value per business of 1 to 2 billion US dollars. And our ambition is to eventually take them to the public markets, open up whole new sectors of the Russian economy to equity investors. With that, let me yield to Vladimir Travkov, our CFO, who will discuss our financial performance in greater detail. And after that, we look forward to taking your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrey, and thank you all for joining us today. As Andrey has commented, our portfolio companies delivered very strong results in 2018. In my remarks today, I will be referring to our performance under the new IFRS standards, which had significant impact on our results across the group. In 2018, group revenue increased by 12% year-on-year to 777.4 billion rubles, with all the major assets demonstrating robust growth in their respective segments. Group adjusted EBITDA grew by 34.3% year-on-year to 265.3 billion rubles in 2018, with an adjusted EBITDA margin of 34.1%. This dynamic growth in EBITDA was driven by a solid performance at all our key assets. Consolidated SG&A expenses totaled 141.6 billion rubles in 2018. And as a share of revenues, this decreased year-on-year from 22.1% to 18.2%. Reduction came on the back of new IFRS standards and sustained cost controls across our assets. At the corporate central level, we decreased SG&A in line with our guidance by 10.3% year-on-year to 9 billion rubles. This decrease came on the back of lower overall management compensation, a decrease in headcount, and a reduction of administrative expenses. SG&A as a percentage of revenue at the corporate center continued to decline to 1.4% last year. Consolidated capital expenditures in 2018 amounted to 124 billion rubles, an increase of 18.8% year-on-year. This was mainly due to MTS network development and Detskimir's expansion program. Healthy trends in our portfolio companies translate into sizable dividend flow at corporate center. And MTS still represents over 60% of the total cash inflows, but the contribution from other assets is growing. In 2018, we received 21.4 billion rubles in dividends from MTS, and non-telecom assets delivered dividends and cash returns in the amount of 13.8 billion rubles. Improved profitability enabled Detskimir to pay out substantial dividends, delivering the highest dividend yield in the retail sector. We also received cash inflows from all key portfolio companies, including Leader Invest, PPGC, Segezha, and STIP. Group consolidated financial liabilities at the end of 2018 stood at 733.2 billion rubles. At the corporate center level, during the year, we decreased financial liabilities by nearly 4 billion rubles to 223.2 billion rubles. Even without major monetizations, we managed to reduce our debt load by 12.1 billion rubles through repayment of bank loans and payments to Rosimushchestvo. Forex exchange revaluation had a negative impact, and it increased gross debt by 8.3 billion rubles. But the bulk of our non-ruble obligations are in 2019 Eurobond and to be retired in May. And roughly half of the $500 million notes is hedged through financial instruments. Overall, the currency structure of our financial liabilities at the corporate center remains comfortable with over 75% in rubles. In 2018, Sistema put considerable efforts into debt portfolio optimization with a focus on timely availability of liquidity sources. In the first quarter 2018, we fulfilled all obligations under the settlement agreement using loans from the Sberbank and Gazprombank. Later in the year, we refinanced the Gazprombank bridge loan with loans from Открытие Bank and our own funds. This enabled Sistema to withdraw Detskimir shares pledged under the loan and extend the duration of our portfolio. In July, to increase average portfolio maturity, we attracted a three-year unsecured loan facility from Sberbank. It was used to refinance Sberbank loans maturing in 2019 and early 2020 in the amount of 24 billion rubles. We were also very active in the public debt market. In the first quarter 2018, we placed two bonds attracting 25 billion rubles. And in February-March 2019, Sistema returned to the local capital market. And during the tender offer on 7 series 10 billion rubles bond, we kept 95% of issue in the market and successfully placed a purchased amount. We also launched two other 10 billion rubles, ruble 9 and 10 series bonds, achieving single-digit coupon rates. These transactions reflect the market's positive perception of Sistema's credit quality, and it also demonstrated strong demand for our debt securities from a varied pool of investors, including retail. Proceeds from these placements will be used to refinance Sistema's existing debt portfolio, including Eurobonds, due in May 2019. For additional comfort, we have available credit lines from Sberbank and Sovcombank. We also engaged with other banks to diversify our funding resources, extend tenor, and improve loan terms. Going forward, we will continue to execute on our strategy of shifting to unsecured funding to de-risk our debt portfolio. Overall, during the year, we were able to extend average portfolio duration by 20% to 2.4 years and shape a comfortable debt repayment schedule. Our focused work to optimize our debt portfolio resulted in improved credit metrics, which in turn was recognized by the rating agencies. In October 2018, Expert RA rating agency raised our credit rating to RA-, and we are hopeful to see further upgrades. Sistema's current strategic objective is to reduce gross debt to 140-150 billion rubles, and we see this as an optimal level based on the current structure of cash flow. To reach this level, we should be able to organically reduce debt by 5 to 10 billion rubles per year, and a more aggressive speed is achievable only through monetizations, the timing of which is hard to forecast. And of course, we will also continue to focus on our core activities as an investment company in line with our strategy. Thank you again for your attention. With that, I will now hand the call back to Nikolai.
Thank you, Vladimir. Operator, we are now ready to take questions.
Thank you, Vladimir. If you would like to ask a question, as a reminder, you can press star 1. We will now take our first question from Vyacheslav Dyegtyarev of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much for the presentation. Strategically, how comfortable are you with the current asset portfolio? Shall we expect any major restructurings in the coming year? Or you would basically say that most of the portfolio restructurings within Sistema have already happened over the last year? And also, if you were to pick a single or couple of largest opportunities for your portfolio expansion, can you name the sectors where you are most bullish? Thank you.
Yes, thank you for your question. It's Andrei Dubaskov. So first of all, it's a question about the balance between our current debt and potential opportunity in each sector of the Russian economy. And of course, we are going to concentrate our approach into our current enterprise. First of all, it's a STEP, Segezha, Mitsi, and Ozon. E-commerce, very, very attractive area for us. And based on our current strategy, during next 2-3 years, we are looking for the good opportunity to create a PO in this business. And after that, we will be ready to talk about the other potential opportunities in the Russian international markets.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Ivan Kim of Extellus Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening. The first question is on Desky sale. So what's delaying it, if anything, and what is the plan B to reduce leverage if you do not sell Desky Mir this year? The second question is on Ozon. It is growing fast, but it probably will require some capital injections this year. So can you estimate your potential share of cash injection into Ozon? And thirdly, can you provide us guidance on dividend and other cash upstreams from non-MTS assets in 2019? Thank you.
Ivan, thank you for your question. So talking about the first question. So we fully understand that our current portfolio needs a restructuring policy in each sector. First of all, of course, that's not the end of story in our development. I'm talking about the Lidium, yes, and Etalon, and we are looking for the step number two and step number three in this deal. Of course, we are going to increase our current share in e-commerce in Ozon, equally with Baring, and of course, we are based on the next step in this story. When we reach in our share around 40%. Of course, we are looking for the increase in our land bank instead, because currently we have around 400,000 square kilometers. That's not enough for us, because we are going to radically increase our business, first of all, our grain business, first of all, our trading business in this era. So we are currently under the big transformation of our in our activities in each sale. Talking about the Defkimir, that's an open question. Currently, on the one hand, we are fully satisfied because Defkimir are really create good performance for us and good dividend story. And in my opinion, it can be not a mistake, but I think maybe it will be better for us to take Defkimir into our portfolio. But at the same time, we are faced on the very big problem about our debt, and of course we need to sell this this company as soon as possible. So this question about the balance between the current dividend story and the potential benefit from the selling story. That's not a question about okay, we need to do it as soon as possible, because we have no enough cash, we have no enough comfortable relationship with banks. That's not true. But at the same time, we are ready to sell this Defkimir if the price will be comfortable for us. And talking about the dividends from non-MTS assets, in 2019 it will be around 13-14 billion, and I think it will be in line with this year. And what else could you please remind me?
Sure, thank you. And the last one was on the cash injection into Ozon this year, if you plan anything.
Several billions. I have no exact data, but of course it's totally under control of management, so it will be not so huge sum for us.
Great, thank you very much, Andrei.
And I would like to add some information about Plan B for the leveraging if we don't have any Defkimir monetization. So our point of view is that our current debt portfolio is some kind of comfortable for us. It's not optimal, but comfortable. We are ready to reduce our debt organically without any monetization by 5 to 10 billion a year. So we don't see any issue with that. So that's why we don't have any situation when we need to sell any asset or some kind of in fire sale mode. That's why we can spend attention of management on developing of current assets in our portfolio and to continue to refinance our debt portfolio in the future. This is plan B. And so, as you see, we have placed two ruble bond issue, so we are ready to refinance euro bonds in May, and now we are negotiating with the banks to refinance other liabilities during 2019 and 2020. So we don't have any issue with that.
Thank you, Vladimir.
Alexander Pindranovich, Sovac Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. So my question is on Ozon, so like a more detailed question, I would say. Can you please provide your sort of general thinking of what sort of areas do you see for as required for future investment by Ozon? Where do you basically expect the company to invest? Do you think that it probably makes sense to look at the combination of Ozon business with other players in the market, or sort of what sort of scenarios you have in mind with regards to this asset? And in terms of the current situation with the second shareholder bank, Ozon, do you have like an understanding of whether they remain committed for further investment in the company, and are there any potential obstacles which can prevent them from participation in future capital raises by the company? Thank you.
Alexander, it's Andrei. Thank you for your question. That's a very interesting question for us. First of all, of course, you know that the two main areas in each e-commerce which waiting to, for huge investments, it's IT sale software, first of all, because Ozon, like other e-commerce players, first of all, it's a software company rather than a logistic company, rather than a manufacturing company, rather than other type of companies. And, of course, we are going to invest into this area, first of all. We are going to attract a lot of software engineers, programmers, architects, analytics, who can create really good software platforms, huge and strong software platforms for our e-commerce. And the second area which we are going to invest, it's a storage, it's a logistics, because you know that Russia, it's a huge territory, and unfortunately, till now, no other players like Ozon also, we have no possibility to reach each our client for the next day after the buying. That's a problem not for Ozon, that's a problem for all our competitors. And of course, this area will be the number two potential area which we are going to invest our resources. Also, like into the construction our own storage in the Moscow region and in other regions in Russia. Talking about our potential M&A activities with other players, currently we think that not a good story for us because Russian market is very fragmented. I'm talking about the e-commerce market. And more cheaper for us to create our presence organically. That's really a question about the balance between our potential organic growth and our resources which we need to spend for acquiring our competitors. And again, currently we think that it will be more profitable for us to create good growth organically. Talking about our relationship with Baring, no changes. We are under the good collaboration approach with our partners, no some kind of problems, no some kind of changes. We are really happy that Baring is our partner in this story. So more or less, it's all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, as a reminder, you can press star 1. We have another question from Igor Goncharov of Gazprom Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much for the opportunity. I have two questions. One is on the cost of the corporate center. As we have seen, as you have demonstrated, you have reduced those substantially over the last couple of years. Still, the question is, what is your plans with regards, or what is your guidance with regards to the cost of the corporate center in 2019? That's question number one. The question number two is on dividends and in relation with the debt. When do you think you might return to the principles of the existing dividend policy or to more meaningful dividend flow? You have mentioned that the level of the debt from 140 to 150 billion rubles is considered would be considered comfortable for you. Should we treat it as you look to reach that level of debt before you would return to the dividend policy, or you could the return take place earlier? Thank you.
You are right, we have a good story about the decrease in our SG&A expenses in the corporate center, and for the year we delivered a reduction in SG&A expenses by 10% to 9 billion rubles, in line with our guidance. This was driven by lower management compensation, moderate reduction in headcount, and overall increase in efficiency. And going forward, we aim to maintain expenses at the corporate center stable. So talking about our dividend policy, that's a very hard question for us. On the one hand, that's a question about our possibility to create good investment story in each areas where we're going to invest. And the other hand, that's a question our current good relationship with our investors. And I think we have all possibilities to come back to our previous dividend policy, and we will be ready to announce new uses in this area till the end of summer. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And we have no further questions at this time. Please continue with any further points you wish to raise.
Thank you, operator, and thank you, everyone, for participating in our call. If you have any further questions, please don't hesitate to contact us at the Investor Relations team. And with that, I would like to conclude our call and wish everyone a very pleasant evening.
Thank you.
Operator.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.